I do have PowerPoint. Daniel didn't come in tonight, and I don't think we're set up, so we'll just make do with the Word of God as they've done for a couple thousand years, and get by without it. So tonight, we're going to talk about anger, and entitled the lesson, Anger. You can interrupt me anytime if you need something. Anger, thank you. Danger. And so I'm going to have to look behind me sometimes. But as I'm putting this together, I realize all you have to do with the word anger is put a D in front of it, and it becomes the word danger. And you might, and although I gave you the option, when Daniel and I were given options, and you chose this one, this one's important to me. I struggled with it. I mean, it was one of my greatest struggles was dealing with anger. And one of the greatest victories that God gave me was success over anger. But it was took a long time and a major battle. And one day my wife said to me, in a very honoring, kind way, she said, "Honey, you're a man of wrath." And she was right. I just had so much anger. No holes in our walls. Didn't throw things. Never struck anybody. And all the spanking they gave my kids, it was only one swat, except for once. And it was without anger, except for once. But nonetheless, I was angry a lot. Angry at me for being inadequate and stupid, and angry at circumstances. You know, one little thing wouldn't be bad. Maybe our $14,000 sewing machine would break down. Okay, what happened? It's gonna happen. So no biggie. But then I drop a $10 pair of scissors and ruin them. Okay, then it's just stuff, right? Then a phone call from the credit card company. Hey, we didn't get your payment. You're late, and there's a late fee, and creditors, they didn't sell us stuff, but that's what happens. And what do you mean I'm late, man? We sent the money in, and maybe they made a mistake, maybe we did, but oh, the pressure's kind of building. Another thing happens that day, and man, I had a lot of anger in my life. And I confessed it openly. I remember teaching that class of 1 Timothy in the Church of Christ in a Federal Way, Washington, called the West Campus. And I told them, I said, I gave up drinking 5 months after I became a Christian. And cursing took me 2 years to whip, but I got over my cursing. And all the big ones that people think, oh, that's sinful, I get rid of those. But I've been a Christian quite a few years now, almost 2 decades, and I still struggle with anger. And so, since then I found out that it's not everybody has it. I know people that just aren't angry people, but I've been impressed at how many Christians struggle with anger. And there's quite a few. Whatever that means. Is it 20%? 40%? I don't know, but a lot. And one thing I noticed, I'm thinking, this, how do I beat it? And I don't know what your paradigm is if you struggle with anger, but I thought, I don't have enough self-control. Well, self-control is involved. You can't see it, but we'll get to that. Self-control is involved. But I'm suggesting there's something that's even more important than self-control as we look at anger and how to beat it. And so my kids saw it. My wife saw it. Like I said, never struck anybody, didn't go hold the wall, but just angry too often. And they told me. When they saw God help me through it and help me defeat it. If this was my anger at its worst, now it's him. I mean, it's a tenth of what it used to be because of the God-given principles we have to defeat it with. So I want to share that with you. And also, I would meet people. There was a young man in our church, in one of the churches I was in, that calm, kind-hearted, soft-spoken, but I didn't realize he was overflowing with anger, but his grandmother died, and she was the only close relative to him. His parents hadn't been good parents, but he loved his grandmother, lived with her, got caught him off guard. She died, so he's riding his motorcycle, really speeding, and the cops chase him, so he runs. And they chase him some more, and finally he crashes. Only does he break his bike and break his arm, but he's in jail. They put him in jail. It's a felony, if I remember correctly. And he was just overflowing with anger. But I beat it by then. So I said, hey, they let him out of jail pretty quickly, but I think it stayed on his record, right? This guy, you'd never think would get a misdemeanor, but anger. And so I said, hey, you want to study with me? And I didn't bring it, but there's a book, I'll mention it again, called Telling Yourself the Truth. Full of scripture, written by a denominational person, but of all the over 1,000 books that I've read, number two in my life, only second to the Bible. So many people, it's not just about anger, it's about low self-esteem, self-loathing, anxiety, fears of different things like water or whatever it is. It deals with a lot of negative emotions, and this guy is masterful. He points out what the Bible says about these things. So I shared this with Kyle. Hope I didn't name it with Kyle. When we finished the book and using the Bible, he said, Mike, this book saved my life. Those were his exact words. So good news. If you're one like me, that sometimes you think you have too much anger in your life, then you probably do. And there's really great news. We can beat this with God's help. And you know that. We can beat anything with God's help. So let me figure out how to do this. Since we don't have a screen on, I'm going to make this big enough. This is a tiny screen, but I'm going to make it big enough so I can read it. And how many Christians struggle with anger? Dennis. Oh, you're just saying that you do sometimes? Or that we? Okay, so thank you. I used to go ahead, John. You have a comment?
No, I struggle with anger quite a bit. I'm still trying to
learn how to control. Sure, and I just couldn't believe it. Why can't I beat this, dear God? And prayed about it a lot. And my paradigm was this. As I watched the consequences of anger, like I said, no physical damage at all. Didn't threaten people. I'm going to choke. Didn't do that. Just lots of anger. I said, man, I know. We'll get to that later, but anger is my enemy. I see nothing good come from it in my life. I'm not saying you haven't used it well sometimes, but in my life, I don't see one iota of good fruit. Not a bit. See, it's my enemy. So when I would get angry, before I had all the tools, I would still say, this is my enemy, I don't want it. So kind of that's a little bit of background of where I'm from. Now we'll start in a Christian struggle with anger. I looked at some of the polls from England, and I don't know, 84% of Christians struggle with road rage, it said, in England. But we're not English, right? So that doesn't matter. And it said, and then 62% struggle with work rage. You know, the boss is not kind, and there's lots of gossip at work, and the work is crummy, and whatever. I couldn't get one clear poll for America, at least a current one. But a lot of Christians, and when I say that, I'm talking about every flavor of believer. I don't know about any of God's churches, but it is a common problem. So here's a quote. This is from the Christian Counselor's Manual, Baker's and Publisher. John Adams states, anger is a problem for every Christian. I'm not convinced that's true. I know some that tell me, and I've never, they just don't get angry. But he said, anger is a problem for every Christian. Sinful anger is probably involved in 90% of all counseling problems. That doesn't mean 90% of a Christian, but of those that go to counselors. And I did. I did. I went to a guy from the church, had a PhD, and I went to him, and we were having some problems with our kids. They were now adults, and they didn't turn out the way we wanted. And Lisa and I both kind of, he said, you're both depressed. You have real depression. I'd never had it before. And he said, I'll bet you're really angry, aren't you? Yeah, I am. So he said, I've got a book I want you to read. He said, it's called Telling Yourself the Truth. Here's my inner thoughts. I need to grow. I'm not right with God in this area, but that's the last book I need to read. The reason I became a Christian, I'm telling myself this, not him, but the reason I became a Christian was based upon love for truth. That's it. Based on my love for truth. So I'm thinking, I never argue with my authorities, but I'm thinking, okay, I'll read it. And he gave me homework on every chapter too, that I had to turn in. But I'm thinking, what a waste of time. Until I started reading the book. Wow. Wow. It's not about do you love the truth or not. But one of the things that goes on inside the heads of people that are too angry, that get angry often, one of the things that goes inside their heads is misbeliefs. Their anger is based upon misbeliefs. I'll get to this again, but I'm just going to tell you now. Monitor, if you get angry once in a while when you shouldn't, monitor this. Ask yourself, because anger is sometimes a reflex reaction. Something, I point you because, what a joy to see. That's why I point at you. So, do not be deceived. Because we tell ourselves untruth. So, let's say I drop the pair of $10 scissors, and it's the fourth thing that day. And I go, oh! And I get mad. We've learned how to shorthand the self-talk, but what we're saying normally when we get angry is we're saying, this is terrible! Well, it's usually not terrible. Terrible is being in prison in a Muslim country. Like when Saddam Hussein was alive, even to his own people, that was terrible, being in that kind of prison. Or we say, this isn't fair because I don't deserve this. Well, that may be true. We're told that we're going to suffer, and sometimes because we're righteous, not because we're unrighteous, so it may not be fair, but God warns us, hey, this is part of life that we can show what Jesus would do in the same situation. So I can see how what you're going to do, Mike, it's part of life. Heaven, we don't have this stuff. But on earth, we're going to suffer unjustly sometimes. So this isn't fair, I don't deserve this, and a whole bunch of other talk, like this is terrible when it's not. A lot of the things that angry people get angry about are unpleasant. Not terrible. Not terrible. Even someone who, let's say, suffers like divorce. Even someone who suffers by divorce, some kind of give up living, they're just overflowing with anger for a long time. Or a crummy marriage. Like my wife had to put up with for a while. And they go, this is terrible. So I'm going to be, I'm going to let it affect all my thoughts. I'm going to let it overflow me. I'm going to let it, make me negative and angry. Oh, great. So you're going to let an outside source ruin you. And of course, you're going to affect the people around you. But I'm just trying to make the point that a lot of times anger is based upon self-talk that isn't even true. It's better if we have a bad experience, we break a leg, we drop the scissors, our check bounces. Not terrible, it's unpleasant. So we learn how to tell ourselves the truth. Lord, I don't like this at all. But it's not terrible. It's not terrible. It's just unpleasant. I know you'll work with me, get me through this. I know I can have an outstanding life. I know that I won't even think about this in a couple of weeks or a couple of days. And we start telling ourselves the truth. Now, I'll stick with my notes now. So you can't see this guy, but my slides. There are hundreds of scriptures that deal with anger. I mean, hundreds. So on the slide, vision this in your mind.
Mike, it's on PowerPoint. Just click through the
clicker. You mean if I click the deal, it'll come on? I'm sorry. I thought I had to see the lights or whatever. So how about that? Okay. So there are hundreds of scriptures that mention anger, angry, wrath, indignation. And Just in case you want to read it for yourself and don't know how to look up every time the word anger is used or angry or whatever, I have them all on some Microsoft Word file. Any slides you ever want, if you ever want any, or these Microsoft Word files that I have with all the uses of anger, malice, wrath, indignation, you're welcome to have them. But why would God... Okay. Oh, it is moving. Sorry, guys. No handout today. But I usually do my handout today. Then I'm going to teach because it's fresh that way. I remember what's on and I don't have to look at it a lot. But probably heard the story that my wife had a kidney stone, and I said, "I come home right now." She said, "Don't you dare." She threatened to lock the door. She said, "I'm good. They're sending me home. The pain is pretty much gone. So I'm just letting you know that." But it changed my day a little bit. So no handout. And this is not going to change. But there are some of the scriptures on that. So the question is this, and I want your interaction. Is anger a sin? What could be? Is that what you said? Could be. Amen. Is it always a sin? No. I mean, Jesus got angry, right? God gets angry. God gets angry. Any scripture that comes to mind, even if you don't know where it's at, can you think of any scripture in the Word?
Be angry and sin not.
What's that now?
Be angry and sin not.
Ah, yes. Do I have that up there? How about this one? The one you were just stating. Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and yet do not sin. Which means you don't have to sin. But look at the rest of it. And do not let the sun go down in your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. So, is it always sin? No. But, if we stay angry, we'll open the door and say, "Hey, Satan, come on in." Because he will take that anger and use it against us. We might speak sharply to someone we love. We might harm a relationship. Temporary or permanent, doesn't matter. When we stay angry, it's so hard to control that it's giving Satan an opportunity. Any other scriptures come to mind? Well, here's another one here. Let all bitterness, all of it, all and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. So guess what? Who gets to put it away? Whose control is it under? It's not easy. But we're told for us to put those negative things away. So we have some control over it. And then Colossians 3:8, but now you also, speaking to Christians in general, put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. It's not a sin. But when we don't take care of it, I showed you how many scriptures there were. There's like 400 scriptures using the idea of anger, angry, angered, malice and indignation, about 400 scriptures. The question, Bob, you've been a Christian a year, so I'm going to put you on the spot because you don't sound like you're super shy. Because this is not an easy question, but if the Bible says something 400 times, why would you think the Bible would say something that often? Yeah. All right. Yeah. God repeats it because I need to hear it. It is important that he not say it 400 times. So, right on. So we know. Why? We know. We understand. So, I was overflowing with anger. As I said, my wife said in a sweet way, "Honey, you're a man of wrath." I was overflowing with it. And the problem with overflowing with anger is in conflict with a lot of other important scriptures, like Colossians 2:6. Therefore, that's hard to read. Oh, by the way, do you love the color? The background, isn't that sick? I thought I would put something really yucky up there because we're talking about anger. But anyway, I didn't realize it would be hard to read. So, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing gratitude. I've been working on that one for about 6 years to overflow. I had the anger about 20 years ago, but I want to overflow with gratitude. I don't do it every day, but that's my goal when I wake up in the morning, to to overflow with it all day long. Well, that's in conflict with overflowing with anger. I'll need a reader. Raise your hand. Who's ready, willing to read the next passage? Because I'll call on you if you don't. Okay, Mike. We do read Philippians 4:4.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice.
Tough command, but that's the goal, right? To appreciate your salvation, appreciate the blessing, all the stuff that, even if sad things are happening, to know, we know how the story ends. We're headed to heaven. God is on our side, not against us. There are many reasons to rejoice always, but again, that's in conflict with overflowing with anger. And then the last one, one more reader, please, if you can read it. Can I read that? If you would, please, John.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Perfect. So when we're overflowing with anger, as I used to do, you're not full of peace of God. You're not rejoicing always, because they're enemies, they're opposites. And so it tells us right here that if we do what's right and we pray and the supplication, that the peace of God is going to guard our hearts and minds against what? All kinds of yuckies, right? Anxiety, anger, frustration, just all the negative. It's going to guard us from that. So, last one. One more reader, please, if you can read it. Who can see that one? Take a hand. Zach, if you would.
Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things.
We touched on this real quickly, the last night or the night before. But this is telling us to think about, to dwell on, means to put real mental focus on whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely. All those things I talked about, one thing that's helped me is I invite those into my mind to live there every day, or at least I try every day. I want you to come in my mind. I want you to be on my heart. I want some thoughts about that to be running through here. Because when we fill it up with our invited guests, there's no room for the guests that shouldn't be in there, like anger, hatred, frustration, fear. There's no room for those. And most of you heard this, but for those of you that might not have been here, these are what we're supposed to invite into our mind so that when we go, hey, I'm angry right now. How'd you get into my celebration, my mental celebration? You don't belong here. You're uninvited. Get out. We become bouncers. And we don't let those thoughts. Easy to do? Of course not. Of course not. So I'm going to give you a few more things that helped me. But this is one. It's a key to get rid of the anger and to be rejoicing and overflowing. So it is not simple. No, it's not simple for all Christians. Thinking the right things is a huge part of the battle. We just talked about that. True, honorable, right, pure. But it's also important to get rid of misbelief. And as I taught two workshops on it years ago, so it's a little rusty, but as we studied these concepts in a smaller setting, of course, people are really, you know, they don't mind raising their hands and talking in a small room. And it's just amazing. I don't know anybody that doesn't have some misbeliefs about something sometime. But we need to get rid of misbeliefs. And I probably won't develop it deeply today, but we have them. And that's why we're told four times to not be deceived. Good Christians are told this thing. Because it's easy to get angry and say, this is terrible. No, it's not. It could be, but it's rarely that an unpleasant situation is terrible. And what can, by the way, John, I'm trying to think of what Romans 8 says again. What can remove us from the love of Christ? Remember Romans? Angels, principalities, famine, nothing. Nothing can remove us from the love of Christ. We can leave, but nothing can move us. So whatever's happening, God has given us the ability, right, to handle it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. So nothing has come upon you but such as is a common man. And with the temptation, God is faithful and will provide a way of escape so that you do not have to sin or something, that you may not sin. Nothing is going to happen to us that can take us from Christ. So how do you handle anger? I'm way ahead of time. Okay? We'll deal with that. But how to handle anger? Number one. Brandon. Oh, there's a hand over here, Zach.
So I was just gonna ask the question, what's anger? Because I can be impatient, I can be disgusted by something like sin or whatever it might be. There's a lot of other emotions, you might call them, that are similar to anger, but what is anger that's not considered impatience, frustration? Is there a difference or are they all the same?
I would say there are subtle differences, but they're probably all cousins. They can be different forms of anger based upon what our experience is, right? What's something that, not you, but what's something that makes some people angry or gives them wrath? Just give me a few things that you know of that cause people to be angry.
You get cut off on the freeway.
One more thing, time, Theo.
You get cut off.
Ah, the road rage. Yeah. And you know, when somebody cuts us off, it's actually a physical danger, right? I mean, if they cut us off and hit the brakes, we won't have time to stop without hitting them. So there's a physical threat there. So how do you deal with it? I don't mean the throwing. You stopped that, right? The throwing stuff out the window. I don't. No. What do you have? How do you process that?
I mean, my reaction is just, you know, I get angry. I can't help it when that happens.
Sure. In fact, here's how bad it was with Lisa and me. When people did dumb things on the road, cut us off, or there's other things too, pull up right in front of us, and hit the brakes, and hope you don't hit them. And I started saying, because it wasn't a swear word, I thought. I'd say, "You idiot!" Well, read about what Jesus had to say in Matthew 5, and as good as a swear word, it's wrong. And he said, there can be judgment when you say, "You fool," or "You idiot." But I would, "You idiot!" I didn't know Matthew 5 real well back then. It was so bad. Because they did it every time someone made a mistake, that pretty soon it was perfect stereo, perfect harmony. We would do it at the same time. They go, "You idiot!" Both of us would say that at this perfectly time. I started something bad. So help me out. How are we going to process dumb driving? Once, near my home, 15, 12 minutes away, I'm driving near this mall called South Center Mall, close to my exit. I'm going 60, which is the speed limit. And the guy pours it on. He drives on the shoulder of the road. There's a lot of gravel in that area. He drives on the shoulder of the road and passes me like I'm standing still. 90 miles an hour. I mean, it was super dangerous. I felt anger because he was endangering lots of lives. This guy was really kicking it on the shoulder of the road. So help me out. You've experienced that. I know you don't all have road rage. How do you process it? Absolutely. Number one, if you survive, you can thank God you survived it. Right? That's John.
Here's an example. I was at red light, woman in there. California plate. She's talking on the phone.
That explains it all. Woman, I'm kidding. I'm really kidding. There are plenty of women that are way better than me. I just had to say that. So, woman in California plate.
She's talking on the phone. And she's still there and she stepped with me. Then she sticks her hand out.
She does what?
Sticks her hand out the window and said, two more minutes. I started laughing. We went to another red light. But I couldn't help but laugh when she did that.
Well, good.
She put a plug in it.
Sometimes I've gone, you have a good day too. But you know, you can either get angry at it or say,
I did. But then I laughed about it.
Oh, good. Okay. Good. There's more things we can do. I'll take Zach and then Mike.
So I've made some less than planned moves. Oh man, that's my exit. And you just gotta, if it's clear, you go for it. And I know that's not safe either, but you know, I didn't want to selfishly be inconvenienced and have to figure out how to get around, and or maybe there's an urgency to getting to the destination, and you snake a little bit if it's safe, and that's a choice every driver might have to make, and I'm mostly good at it, but or good at struggling, not cutting.
Why is Heather laughing?
What I was gonna say is when someone else has done, like, man, why would they do that? The benefit of the doubt helps a lot. Well, what if they got a baby in the backseat who's, you can't tell what's going on, or what if they just got a call and something's happening at home, or whatever it might be. So it's the deception thing you talked about. You've assumed their motive in advance. We have no idea most of the time.
We don't. It may be the cell phone, but speaking of the baby in the backseat, we live in California. We had to get Laura to the doctor. She had an operation. And so I said, honey, freeway in California, and really parking lot in California, you know, it's going to take us a while. So one of us, while we're driving, we scribbled a sign. It either said doctor or emergency or something like this. So we drove on the side of the road like the other idiot. Oh, not idiot. The other guy that passed me 90 miles an hour that I told about or whatever he was going. We drive and people would pull in front of us on the shoulder of the road to stop us. And I get that, but I would hold up the sign, and they would move out of the way, but you don't know what's going on. But what if, I don't remember your name right now, it's not Mike, what is it?
Dave,
thanks. So. I can just tell by your demeanor, you're probably a very good driver, probably courteous, I'm guessing, because you remember this congregation, they'd kick you out if you weren't, but, so, you ever made a mistake? I mean, a mistake, when you're driving.
Yeah, you bought a Prius.
Is that why she drives? Anyway. So the deal was this. So as I'm driving, I think I'm a good driver. I haven't had a ticket in a long time, no accidents since I college in like 40 years, but I've done some dumb things, some close calls. Didn't mean to, just whatever. I didn't, they leave my blind, whatever it was. I made dumb mistakes, not just ones that I couldn't see. And I thought, you know what? What if they're a nicer person than you? I'm telling you to work. Because most people are. What if they're a nicer person than you? And they made a mistake. Why don't you give them a little grace? What if they're just, whatever you want to call them, that they're reckless and they're careless and they don't care about their lives? Well, what should I do, arrest them? Because yelling at them is not going to do any good. They're not going to hear me. So I said, I don't have road rage anymore. I think I got rid of that before I got rid of my anger. But, you know, you just got to process and say, thank you, God, that no one was hurt. Thank you, and help that person be more courteous next time if this isn't an emergency, or whatever it is, we process it and say, even if they're careless and inconsiderate and dangerous, I'm not the only one out there. There's thousands of them. So should we get angry every day we drive, Sean?
I always tell the kids that they can only control their actions, they can't control others.
Isn't that, and I think if we think about that, that helps me a lot. We can only control our actions. We can't control the actions of others. Is that Andy? Yes. And so we're told, for instance, we have to remember who we represent or what we represent. So we're told in Peter that you're going to suffer. And if you suffer for doing evil, what's that? You should suffer if you do evil. You don't want to, but he says, I'm paraphrasing, I think it's Peter chapter 1 Peter chapter 2. But if we suffer for being righteous and we do it in a godly way, that's pleasing to God. And who isn't? What righteous person isn't going to suffer at times for being righteous? We all are. That's part of life on earth. We're warned about it. Every chapter in 1 Peter mentions suffering. Every single one, all five. So we have the mindset, and we say, I'm your ambassador. I'm going to shine my light. And even if I never see them again, and maybe I won't, and all the drivers around me never see me again, I'm going to act in a dignified way, the way Jesus would. He's not going to speed up and cut him off or get 2 inches from the bumper. You know, he may feel bad if they're inconsiderate, but we have to process. That was really good. Anything else on that? We have to process and say, it happened. Am I going to let it ruin my day? Because I remember, I could stay angry for a while after something like that. So, how do I want to feel right now? Which is more enjoyable? Peace, joy, or anger? And so, as we learn how to process and we mature, we say, no. It's too bad they did that. That was dangerous. Mike.
I've always struggled with this issue all my life. And the issue that I've struggled with the most is the difference between what I would consider to be passionate or convicted about something and not afraid to be aggressive about my opinion about something or my thoughts about something. But where I think it crosses the line, at least what I struggle with, is when I will not be appeased.
When
I will not be appeased.
When you won't be placated,
I will hang on to it and I won't let it go. That's when it becomes sinful and becomes destructive. And that's the thing I struggle with the most is being so passionate about something that I want to, you know, be right about it, and I'm not appeased in it, and I hold on to it.
Yeah.
That's when it crosses the line. And what I have to learn in terms of how to handle it is to find a way to become appeased. Leave it up to God. Leave it up to, you know, whatever the situation may be. And that's the thing I struggle with the most.
And many of us do it. So this is not Christianity 101. This isn't the basic. This is talking to people who want to be, we all want to be more like Jesus, but this is talking to people who are growing in Christ and learning how to process the thinking. Because the battle for Christianity, the battle for any Christian life is here. You can maybe say the heart and the mind, but this is where it all goes on. Where our heart has been conditioned to react in a certain way. And so it shows in our life, and our mind has to train the heart. I'm not going to do that anymore. I see no value from it at all. Anger is my enemy. Now, one more thing. I ask if being angry is always sin. And the answer is no. I think you're the one that somebody said to Ephesians 4:26. No. Be angry and yet do not sin. So it's possible to be angry without sin. But there's three scriptures I'm trying to find. I'm going by memory right now. I wrote them down, and I'm wondering if you can help me find them. Say, have them on here. I need help with three scriptures. One is this. Can't read it, but one of the scriptures I'm looking for is the one where it says, blessed are the angry, because they will overflow with joy. Anybody remember what that is? Blessed are the angry, because they're going to overflow with joy. No, I can't either. In fact, I bet it's not in the Bible. No. Or anger is a fruit of the Spirit. You remember where that one's used? Anger is a fruit of the Spirit? No. You're shaking like it's not in there either. And I could make up a whole bunch more like that, right? I can't find a place where human beings are told anger's a really good thing at the right time. Jesus got angry and he knew how to use it properly. But most of us, we mess with anger and we let it dwell, and it's really, like Mike said, you know, if we can't appease it somehow, we might make some mistakes. So it just, it's not always a sin, but it's always dangerous. Always dangerous. You feel it coming on, tell yourself the truth, fill your mind with the, you know, whatever's true on the right here, and that kind of thing. So, how to handle anger. How am I doing on time? Well, okay. Please.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's interesting that most of the time when I seem to get cut off, it's not when I'm having the world's best day. It's when I'm having the world's worst day. And the outburst of anger is probably not a result of that specific event. It's probably a result of the things that I haven't been able to deal with or handle the entire day. Or maybe an argument with someone. It's probably not that one specific thing. It's my own inability to overcome other things, and then it finally comes out in a burst of emotion.
Yeah, even if it's something small,
yeah.
We tell ourselves, I've had enough,
right.
I don't deserve this. All these, they're not words. By the way, I don't think I said that. We have these, we've learned how to shorthand. Bad experience, I don't deserve it, therefore I should be angry. Or third bad experience, that's not fair. Now I deserve to be angry. And it's only natural to express anger. Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's only natural, like the natural man that Paul talks about. The natural man is not a woman, is not a godly man. Or a woman, a spiritual man. So it may be natural in the worldly way, but that probably tells you it's not a good thing. So they build up, we have all these things going on in our head, we're shortcutting, we're not even having to think it through, I don't deserve this, we've learned how to shortcut around that. Anytime something bad goes on, we think.
Well, again, in America, man, I got cut off, I'm being persecuted.
I cut off what?
I got cut off on the freeway. Man, that's persecution. I'm so mistreated. No, you're not. Yeah. That has nothing to do with your spirituality.
Yeah.
It has our own inability to be the person that we should be, as was said, and the example that we need to be.
Yeah, amen. Amen to that. Ben?
Well, in James 1.
James 1, right.
Yeah.
19?
Yes, but 20 also.
Yes.
James 1, this you know, my beloved brethren, but let everybody be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And let that set in, slow to anger. Mm. Or the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. So when we become angry in a godly way, it's something, it's a choice, it's not a reaction.
Ooh.
Can I become angry because people are not obeying what God has to say? Yeah, I think that's what I think. Even though I don't have this down, don't get me wrong. That's what I think, that godly anger is a choice that comes about slowly. That's the point. Slow to anger. But then it goes on to say the anger of man. So the anger of man, really, it says, does not achieve the righteousness of God. So that, it never does. But there is an anger that does achieve the righteousness of God, and it's slow, and I think it's a choice that we make, not a reaction. It's a choice that we make if we see our society moving away from God. I'm angry with my society.
Yeah.
It's so, not a reaction to the society.
Hey, Mike, can I add to that? Because there's a passage in Mark that I think is really important. This is where Jesus is healing on the Sabbath, and he's debating against people who are upset with him and accusing him.
Is this Mark? You say Mark 2?
Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And the context is he's doing that. But in verse 3 of Mark 3, it says, he said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. He said to them, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or kill? But they kept silent. After looking all around them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their heart, he said to them, stretch out your hand. He's in the middle of a debate about something that he was upset with because they were dealing with, and it says that Jesus was angry, looked at them with anger, grieved in the hardness of heart, and said, stretch out your hand. That's exactly what Randy's saying.
Amen.
That Like fear, anger's an emotion that can be taken too far. And that's, again, my personal struggle is with that emotion that gets taken too far. Jesus was able to do that, and we know did not sin, but clearly he was angry.
He was angry. God's been angry. And so, I couldn't find a scripture because I read them all, if I remember correctly. It was back in December when I looked at every word using anger, angered, angry, angry, you know, all of them. Some of them aren't in there, but I couldn't find one that I couldn't find one that praised anger. It said, but we can't deny that you can be slow to it. Sometimes it's just. It's just not there's not one that says, man, blessed are the angry. I think the idea is this. We're going to get angry. We can choose to be. If it's proper and we don't let it get out of control, we don't give the devil an opportunity, it doesn't achieve it. We can choose it. But we need to say, like I did, I'm treading on. I got to really watch myself. I got to do it slowly, prayerfully. And the one benefit that I can think of for anger, and I can't tell you it's in the Bible verbatim, but I think maybe we see the example, is that sometimes proper anger, pretty rare, sometimes proper anger can motivate us to do something. Mad, anybody remember what MAD stands for? Had to do drunkenness, you remember what it stands for?
Mothers Against Drunk Drivers.
The men, because they've lost children. And so they did something about it. They started educational programs. And now, if they stayed angry every night, I mean, not healthy, but I think the idea was to have an acronym that was easy to remember and motivated people to take action against that. I had one more hand, I think it was Solomon. Is that right?
Yeah. So, I have a question. My question is, on Ephesians 4:26, we just read, it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger.
Yes.
So, I'm thinking that is you have to resolve it. So, this happened on a highway. Do you resolve it by yourself, or you get hold of the guy?
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you're never going to see him again, probably, right? So don't let it. His point was this: you're going to hear it. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Well, the idea is, if you have it, to try to resolve it as quickly as possible. But with somebody that's buzzing by you, or maybe you don't know if they're even saying, you're not going to pull them over and do a citizen's arrest, or, you know. You can't work it out probably with a person you don't know, and you'll never have a chance to talk to. So now you're going to have to work it out here. Any other things? So I want to give you a quick step. Yes, Dennis?
What about passages like the anger of the Lord was kindled? What, you know, it's okay for God to be angry, but not us, even if it's a righteous anger?
So, God can do it, Jesus can do it. I think we have the right to do it, as Randy said, with great thought, and do it slowly, make sure that it's even appropriate. Yeah, we can do it, but God never let it get out of hand, right? I mean, sometimes he took care of business because it was deserved. Jesus never let it get out of hand. He never caused me to sin. But we have so many warnings about the danger of it that if I'm going to be in error, I'd rather err on the side of caution because I know where I used to be. If I can't hit right on, I'd rather let grace kind of take over rather than the anger. It doesn't mean we can't choose it. It doesn't mean we shouldn't sometimes. But I'm just saying, read the scriptures. There's a lot of Proverbs that are very powerful about the dangers of anger. Lots of them. And so, you know, I think it's a great question, Dennis. And so, not always sinful, but look out, baby. Because it can be dangerous. John?
If anger comes along with consequences.
Sure does.
Whether you see him or not, there's going to be a reaction from the other party or on your part.
Yeah. Amen. There can be real consequences. So what I'll do is this. I'm going to give you the four-step process that pulled me out of it. I meant to bring the book. I might have left it in the car. not the Bible, but it's really well done. I think I found one thing in there that, I'm not sure I can prove that, but well done. And it was a four-step process for my anger. The first one, I'm angry. Remember, it's a habit for a lot of us. Just something negative happens instantaneously because of the subconscious messages. This is terrible. I don't deserve, that it's easy to just, bam, go right back to our old friend, anger. So the first thing is, if it's inappropriate, just confess it. Lord, that's not who I want to be. Forgive me. Help me to get better and better at not even coming to anger. But just confess it to the Lord. Secondly, along that line, not secondly, but to support this, 1 John 1:9, we read in verse 8 that if we say we have no sin, the truth isn't in us. But in verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we get angry, God will forgive you. Just confess it. Take care of the business. Get rid of the anger, possible, and move on, rejoicing that God has forgiven you. But this is the one. This is the one that got out of the book. If I'm angry, and I was angry all the time, the book said, stop as soon as you feel the anger and say, why am I angry? Why? Identify your misbelief. I'm angry because I don't like that, but it's really not a big deal. Maybe it'll cost me $200. Maybe I'll lose an hour or two of time. Maybe I just feel insulted, but it's not terrible. It's an aspect of life that I'm going to experience again. I want to have a good day. But anyway, just identify your misbeliefs instead of, this is terrible. Say, I don't like it. Say the truth. It's unpleasant. Absolutely, most of the time, it's absolutely not terrible. It's a part of life. Once we start telling ourselves the truth, which is the name of the book, telling ourselves the truth, it's so much easier to keep it in perspective, because I see the only reason I got angry most of the time was because it was out of perspective. I made a bigger deal than it really should be. So, confess the sin to God, locate and identify your misbeliefs, and then tell yourself the truth. This isn't terrible. This is unpleasant. Now, let me share this with you. The book has 5 steps. I cut it down to 3. I didn't need to go, okay, here's my misbelief. Now, I have to tell myself the truth. If I found the misbelief, I knew what the truth was. That's simple. What's my misbelief? I'm really angry because, fill in the blank, I'm really angry. When I figure that out, I know what the truth is. But the book says, confess, locate the misbelief, tell yourself the truth. I turned that into 2 steps. Whatever works for you. Pray answers instead of problem. Man, I love this. So here you are at your job and you're angry all the time. It's a really common for people to be angry. You're angry all the time. And you say, so you're praying, God, I can't take it anymore. My boss is a tyrant. People gossip. You know, the work is just, it's unorganized. They don't care about the people. I've just, help me, God. And instead of praying the problem, pray the answer. God, I'm kind of worked up right now. I'm not enjoying the work. But with you, all things are possible. I can praise you, and I can honor you, and I can act like your child, and remember what my cause is and who I'm representing. I can do that, and I can have a good day at this place right now, because you make it possible. And God, you know, use me. Use me to make a difference here. Use me, God, to change the culture of it. Even just one person, I've made a difference. So use me and God. I know that you have something behind this for me to learn. To grow me into a better Christian. Work on me. Change my heart. Fill me with joy no matter what my circumstances are. So you get the idea that instead of praying the problem, God knows, and you can say it, there's nothing wrong. I prayed to a few people today and they said, God, my wife's in trouble. We don't know why she's in the hospital yet. We prayed part of the problem. But we spent more time on the solution. And I think that's helped my prayers. And my mind changed so much. So these are the steps right there. Confess your sin to God. Locate, why are you angry? What's the misbelief? Maybe you thought misbelief. Maybe your anger is appropriate. But a lot of times it's so. Confess your anger. Locate the misbelief. Tell yourself the truth. Those three steps are great. And then pray the answers and not the problem. And all I can tell you is, I was here in anger. I'm down to here. I'm not saying I never get angry, but I process, get it out pretty quickly. My life is so much more enjoyable. And for me, the most important thing was this. I never asked about my kids. They saw the difference. My kids, they saw it after 3 months, but they were saying to themselves, Dad has changed, we could probably go back to his old ways. But 2 years later, they said, Dad has changed. Dad is a man of joy. So I'm just saying, the good news is that anybody with God's help can learn to overcome inappropriate anger that a lot of people suffer with, and your life is going to be just 10 times better. Closer to God, He'll be proud, and you will affect people. You'll affect children, relatives, workers, all the people that you associate with, because they're going to see the difference. So may God be with you as you try to apply these things. My closing comment, I'm glad it's over again tonight. My closing comment is this. This book, if you're one like me that really struggled with it, I want to say this, that I got sometimes just men, my friend, together, and we studied this book. It's not the Bible. It's man-made. It's not perfect. But because it relies on scriptures and does a really good job with them, I think it's invaluable. And sometimes I did two little workshops with men and women, and I'm going to say this. Read the book. Don't do the homework. Might as well not read the book. He tells you what to do, to work on, to get better. And I'm just going to say, if you read it, do the homework. Develop the tools and the skills. And man, oh man, it'd be one of the best investments you ever make in your life. Tell yourself the truth. All right, we're done with that for tonight. And for whatever reason, if you're not right with God, change that tonight. We'd love to you know, have you come forward and pray for you. Or if you want to become a Christian tonight, we'd love that too. Let's stand and sing song of invitation.